Welcome to the Exit Mindset Podcast. I'm Ram Akali. I spent years researching and studying exit strategies to improve businesses, and I'm here to help you increase profits, increase your company valuation, and get you more work-life balance. Welcome. Today, we're going to be talking about the three pillars that are the foundation of the exit mindset. Now, I want to remind you that the exit mindset is based on streetwise methodology. It's not based on textbook or spreadsheets or scientific data or things that are beneficial and useful in supporting what you need to do. But sometimes in the business world, as we all know, business is based on experience and real life situations. That's what separates you from non-business people. And there are a number of ways you can call yourself. You can call yourself an entrepreneur. You can call yourself a business person. You can call yourself a businessman, businesswoman. There are a number of things you can label yourself as. To me, it's all about business. And to me, the business world runs a certain way. I do believe business by itself is a methodology. There are a number of factors. If you look at in business, in real business, it can clearly label one as a business person. So the experience you have comes from the trenches. And one more thing about business that we all know, or you may not know, is that every company, every situation presents its own set of challenges that are different from the other, in a sense, even if it looks the same. So two companies cannot be exactly the same and do the same production and the same exact output, because the internals of the company, of those two companies, are going to be completely different, even if it's a matter of just the individuals that operate it. That's why, for example, you see one Facebook. You don't see 10 Facebooks. If you look at Facebook as a model, you'll notice that there's no other one next to it, a second. If you look at Microsoft as a model, you don't see two Microsofts. There's really only one. I mean, yeah, there's some fragmented competition there. But at the end of the day, they're the ones that are the dominant force in that particular space of office suites. And it's not hard to make an office suite. I think even in today's world where things can be done with relative ease, no company came out and said, I'm having an office suite that's going to compete with Microsoft in a serious way. But what makes Microsoft, Microsoft? It's just the internals. It has its own internals. It created, it grew through its own processes, and nobody was able to replicate that, because you cannot replicate a company in exact same way. So where does that relate to everything we're talking about here? With the exit mindset, everything we're going to talk about here, you must be able to apply in your own way. There's no one model you can take that is just going to, if you replicate it 100%, it's going to work out very well. There's no manual in here. And anybody that tells you there's a manual in business, they're not telling you the straight story. However, there are certainly different methodologies that you can apply to your company that would make your company work in a better way if you use that methodology in accordance with what you have internally. So let me first tell you my story. Years and years ago, I started a company with a business partner who was my friend. And when you have friends, sometimes you let things go. I discovered that my friend was actually taking money from the company and up to no good. So I decided to dissolve the company and move forward. But what I wanted to initially is to sell it. I found out that I could not sell the company for the price I thought it should command. And I did not know the reasons why. It was just a mystery to me. Simply, I couldn't sell a profitable company. Even though my friend was stealing from the company, I couldn't figure out a way to make it sell for more. And the reason I couldn't figure it out, because that's what was offered. So when I was talking to business brokers, I was talking to people that have interest in it, they were just giving me a price that I thought is a fraction of what the company could do. And I engage in research over the years to figure out what makes a company sell for more. And of course, I read all the textbook stuff and all this and that. But at the end of the day, I didn't think any of them really truly apply, in a sense, because most of them were either text or just weren't applicable. But I wanted something real. I wanted to figure out, how can I do that? I wanted to figure out what makes it work. So I started using some of the things I've learned from my previous experiences and from reading and research to see how we could figure this out. And I talked to some of the intelligent brains in the planet, some of the most intelligent people out there, to see their thoughts, what they think. And many of them gave me insights that I incorporated into what I believe is the best model to make you scale your business, and able to command a great valuation for it, done organically. And that is the point of this podcast, the point of the book, The Exit Mindset, is to give you an organic way of growing a company to a great valuation. So a lot of the things out there can be done by taking certain steps, even though the steps does not guarantee a specific result, of course, because companies are not built on just robotic processes that you can deploy and just would work. Otherwise, by the way, everybody could do it. And just keep that in mind. And that's a clearly important point in this whole thing we're talking about. However, when you use that organic process, or when you use an organic process in certain things, that just it automatically generates the results you're looking for. So this is really the purpose behind this. We're going to talk about the three key exit factors. KEFs is what I call them. Those three key exit factors are the foundation of growth and foundation of output and foundation of getting greater valuation, because they organically, naturally would create a positioning for you that could create a higher value for your company. Surely there's some other things you can do in between to create even more growth and more valuation. However, your primary concern probably is not to be sidelined with your valuation in a way where it's massively behind. And what this will do will take you to the problem, to the right spot, that if you're observing your valuation during the journey, you're going to find that you will be able to go on a path that allows you to make adjustments until you get the what I consider to be the perfect valuation for the time you're selling it. And again, perfect is a little bit maybe, you know, an overreach here, because no such a thing as really perfect. What's perfect? Nobody knows. So, but ultimately, if you're trying to get to a fair valuation for all your efforts and your work and what your company can do, then these three KEFs will be your guiding principles to get there. Let's talk about what these three key exit factors are. One, the product. Two, infrastructure. Three, the conversation. If you take care of these three things, your company not only will have better valuation when a buyer decides to purchase your company, it will also create a company that is significantly more profitable, that gives you more time, and that would be a joy and fun to have around. It would be fun to have, to a point where you may decide that I'm not going to sell it. So the whole point of the exit mindset is that you use the three pillars to improve your operations, to improve your company, to create a model that is significantly superior than you have right now, to a point where an outsider attempting to purchase the company would look at it and go, my goodness, this is so much better than the other companies that I've seen. Or they might say, this is really a great enterprise and I like to acquire it because every element of it seems to be in place, seems to be well run and well executed. But and during that journey, you might decide, I don't want to sell the company. You might decide, it's an asset. I talked to many, many company CEOs and founders and owners of companies that after their companies became a comfortable enterprise, an enterprise that is self-sustaining, generating results, they realized that maybe I don't want to sell this. I mean, I know companies that are in the hundreds of millions and in certain instances, then in billions of valuations where the founders told me that I don't want to sell the company now. It just seems to be working. And some of them say, if I sell it, then what am I going to do with the money? Where am I going to park it? Can I get a return on my money the way I'm getting right now? And in many instances I've seen, the answer is no. Therefore, hey, why not just continue here? So you might find yourself in the same spot here. You might find yourself saying, listen, this is great. Why do I want to go out there and sell it and do something else? Now, some instances, definitely people are going to want to sell. Many reasons. One, they want to capitalize on their work and move on to something else. Sometimes just retirement. Sometimes it's early retirement. Sometimes it's just desire to move into other arenas. Sometimes it's just need for money or cash, whatever the case might be. Wouldn't you want to have the higher valuation than the lower valuation? I don't think anybody would say no. You'd say, yes, I definitely want it. And I am confident that if you apply those three pillars, that higher valuation will come automatically. You don't have to worry about a thing. You don't have to go through spreadsheets. You don't have to go through all the scientific fancy stuff that, or read all the books out there in the world that can tell you how you can get better valuation on the company. Because, and by the time you start applying them, it's just a mess. You apply one thing, and the more complex it gets, the worse your job gets to be. And you're only one person leading the company. We all know companies are made by leadership. Whether you are a company owner or whether you're a high-level executive, either one of those, you're in a position where others can do what you do. So let's talk about those three elements one by one. So let's start with the product. If you don't have a great product, if your product doesn't have certain things attached to it in terms of breadth and in terms of usefulness and in terms of customer acceptance and in terms of ability to evolve, you've got nothing. What you need is a product that has consumer acceptance. Now, this seems very basic. Well, of course, the product. Of course, it's the product. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the product now, in this case, from the consumer perspective. Does it sell itself? Does the consumer really want your product? Many companies under the illusion that the product is so great that people want it, but, you know, it works. But do you really, really have a product that distinguishes itself in the marketplace? And if you do, then great. Then you have one element covered. But if there are things you could do with your product, then you must really consider what you're doing in there, because no buyer of a company, when it comes to valuation, will look at your company and say, well, gee, they have an average product and I'm just going to go ahead and purchase the company at a premium. The reason companies command premium is because of their product. Let's face it. Of course, there are a number of other reasons. Conversation definitely matters. Conversation with the consumer. However, product is king. Product is the most important thing. The reason companies sometimes command a high value for products that aren't even proven is because the product by its nature has the potential to create massive results for the buyer of the company, for the people that pay for it. That's why when you look out there, you see, for example, venture capital firms paying top dollar for a company that has nothing. It has a few people. Typically what they're buying, number one, the product itself, which whatever it might be. And please don't confuse the product for it being a physical product. Product could be anything. Product could be a concept being applied to a certain situation, a strategy to be applied by specialized people. Consulting is a product. If you have consulting services, your product is that consulting service. Don't think you don't have a product. That's your product. Lots of times we tend to think of consulting service, oh, just consulting. What's consulting? It's basically a product that gives a benefit to the other side and gives them a tangible value. And in many cases, some of those consulting companies out there are indispensable to other companies. And the product those consulting companies provide is something that other companies prize and value. And there have been many consulting companies that have been acquired for a top premium price. Why? It's not a real product. It's not a physical product. But it's simply because the definition for most people, it's a product, is something physical. And I want, throughout this whole journey, is to take you away from that thinking. Do not think of your product as being physical. There's a lot to unpack on the subject of product. What I try to give you so far is just an understanding what we mean by product in here and highlight to you the importance and the significance of understanding that your product is one of your most important foundations in getting a higher price for your company. And by understanding that element and applying some of the things we're going to be talking about later in the proper way, you're going to find that you can significantly command a better price for your company and have a better company anyway, which is what you want. And I know the whole point of this whole methodology is to create a better valuation, but really it is more of a double lane in here where it's a road with two lanes. It's the same road. You can shift lanes any way you want. You can go in the lane where you're doing it to create a better valuation, but you can switch immediately to the second lane seamlessly to implement for the sake of creating a better company. What the exit mind gives you is a mind shift where you step away from where you are and go to a different vantage point and start looking at your company differently. And I will tell you, there's a lot of power to that. So it's a little bit more of a mental mind shift. Now, having said that, let's talk about the second key exit factor, which is infrastructure. You could have a company with a great product, and the product is perfect. Consumers, anybody that looks at it, likes it. And you're getting demand, reasonable demand, in a true capitalist economy, in a true free market. There's no such a thing as everybody loves your product, and that's the only product, and that's it. There's always going to be a pocket of competition here and there, small. Hopefully, you are the dominant force in your arena. You're the dominant product. You're the best product out there, the product that people want. And if it is, and you distinguish in that respect, and you become the top in the field, then you accomplish exactly what we want you to accomplish in here. However, you can have a great product that a buyer could look at. When I say a buyer, I mean a company buyer, a person that wants to purchase your company. But they look at your company and say, you got a great product, but there's no infrastructure. What is infrastructure? Infrastructure is all the processes, operations, locations, anything that allows that product to come out there to the marketplace. Infrastructure could be anything from your production infrastructure to your sales infrastructure, to your management infrastructure, to your marketing infrastructure, to the way the product goes from production to sales, to the way that the product gets serviced. All these things come into play, become part of your infrastructure. It's a relatively complex topic, but we can simplify it. We can take an entire infrastructure thinking and narrow it down to elements that you can implement. And that is the real focus, to be able to take all those complex issues and see if you can narrow them down to your own company, to your own business, and make it work. So if you have a great company, and let's say theoretically you have a great product, but then the product isn't going to the marketplace in the best way possible. Let's say you have a product that's good, but you're unable to generate enough output, enough product out there. What are you going to run? You're going to run into problems. What if your product has support issues? That's part of your infrastructure. If you don't have a support infrastructure, you're going to have problems. What if it lacks cohesiveness when you take your product from one part of the company to the next part of the company? What if your research and development isn't all there? And you think, by the way, please don't think research and development is like you have to have a whole department for it. It's about processes for research and development. What if all that isn't done in a way that lends to an operation that is moving very smoothly? That's the part of the company that lends itself to scale. That when a buyer of that company comes in and looks at it and sees that the company is running in a very smooth fashion, that everything in the company is well coordinated, that it's got all the infrastructure elements that it needs to produce the product and to have the product that is already good thrive, your valuation becomes higher. It's only logical. Think about it. Would you give a high valuation to a company that's got a good product, but the infrastructure is not so good? You would go, listen, it looks like you got a good product, but the infrastructure you have in there is not so great. Therefore, we're going to give you X amount of dollar for it, which is 1/10, let's say, or 1/2 of the price, or 50% of the price. Why would a person do that? Why would a buyer of your company decide to buy your company despite it having bad infrastructure, and they would give you money for it, maybe not an entire valuation. Let's say they give you 50% of your valuation, and you spend those years putting this company together, you get this product perfectly, but then the infrastructure isn't great, and they give you less for it. It's really simple, because they know they could probably take that infrastructure and rebuild it and make it better, and they would be able to do more with your product. Maybe they can double your infrastructure capacity, and then they double your product sales because of it. Well, what if that happens? They would be calculating that I can take that and command a premium on it. So you got 50% for something that if you just invested time and energy into fixing, you could get that 100%, and they would pay you for it. But they pay you for double the production that they would be getting had they taken it themselves and did it. So you either do it yourself, or you let somebody else do it. And that is one of the most significant points in this whole thing, is that if you engage in those three pillars that we talk about in the exit mindset, and if you create that higher valuation, you've done it. You don't need to take a cut on what you would make on your entire enterprise to have somebody else do it for you. You do it while you're working. But the best part of it, you're going to have fun. It's going to be a little bit of work, of course. We all know that anything worthwhile, you have to work at. But at the end of the day, you're going to find that you will have a much better company and you'll have a much better life, because with great infrastructure is where your time is going to get better, is where your life is going to get better, where your time with your family, doing the things you like, is going to improve. Why? Because infrastructure done correctly means you don't have to be hands-on in everything. You don't have to work every day on a hamster wheel just to get things moving. Things will move. Part of great infrastructure is building great systems. And these are some of the things we're going to hash out over the future podcast. And we go in detail in some instances with it in the book. Let's go to the third key exit factor. Let's talk about the conversation. I define the conversation as the totality of verbal and nonverbal communication and cues you give to your consumer. That's the conversation. So I want you to understand that my definition of the word conversation when it comes to the exit mindset is expanded from the conventional verbal communication. Typically, the word conversation means I talk to you. I talk to you through words, which is sound vibrations, or I talk to you through written content, which is paper and ink and or digital content. That is not what we're talking about here. The conversation is much bigger piece that we project to the consumer to have a conversation with them, to have a dialogue with them. I propose to you that everything we do with the consumer is a dialogue. How you dress is a dialogue with your consumer. We all know they're called nonverbal cues. We all know that how a person dresses, when you walk into establishment and you see how people dressed up, it speaks to you volumes about what the place is. That's one. The location of the facilities is another piece of conversation. You go, well, how? How could that be? Where you locate yourself speaks to who you are. Think about it. If the establishment is located in one area versus another, you would have definitely different perception. You can imagine that without going too much into it. We can go into it later. We will go into all these things later, I will say. But I'm just trying to give you a synopsis of what this is about. I'm trying to give you a high level, 44,000 view of what this is about. So the conversation is the totality of everything you communicate to the consumer through your actions, through your physical appearance. When I'm talking about physical appearance, I mean locations, where you are. It includes your communication with them in terms of advertising. It includes what you say. It includes what you print. But it also includes branding, positioning, all sorts of things that create that unique thing that your company represents. Because if you don't believe your company has anything unique, or you do not want anything unique within your company so that you would have significance in the industry that you're in, then probably there's no need for you to go through this. But if you are looking to really be known, to be pointed at, saying this company, this CEO, this business owner, this executive has created something better. He's the one who did this, or he's part of this enterprise that did that. Then you made a name for yourself. And if your interest is making a name for yourself so people would look at you with reverence, then you need to have a company that is highly valuable. But valuable company in terms of product or infrastructure doesn't necessarily communicate to people who you are, what you are. You could have a great product and you communicate that great product. You can have great infrastructure by telling people all the things the company can do for them, for the consumer, and show them how it can be, because there are two things there. You tell them and you show them. So they hear and they see and they feel all the things that you represent. And that's great. But maybe there aren't enough in terms of the conversation with them. Maybe you're missing something. Maybe part of how you're communicating with them on some element is incongruent with your overall representation. I'm going to give you a simple example. If you are Costco and you put a valet parking with somebody with a bow tie in front of it, you just created the wrong conversation with them. That's a piece of conversation, whether you believe it or not. Because Costco does not represent high-end white glove service. The conversation that Costco gives you is that we are a warehouse and you're going to get prices at warehouse. You get them in bulk. Once they put a valet parking with a person with a bow and tie and people running around trying to take your car in that way, in a high-end way, they just violated the type of conversation they have with you. They basically became incongruent in terms of the conversation they have with you, because the conversation they have with you is, we are no frills, warehouse. And all of a sudden you see this valet and go, what is going on? And that's just an example, a simple example. This is just a small slice of what could be the wrong piece of conversation you'd have with your consumer. So the conversation in totality would create that additional leverage for your company to have high value or high valuation. So to tie it all up, when a buyer of a company comes in and he looks at your company, and first of all, he looks, what do they sell? What's the product? Whether it's consulting, whether it's services, whether it's exact physical product, whatever it is, thinking, okay, well, that looks great. And I see where it's going. And they see where the potential, and they see how you've designed the whole thing with an exit mindset, that it's going to take them into the right place, and that they could take the product from you and do more with it with relative ease. Now they're going, that's great. Well, let's look at their company. What does it look like on the inside? And they look at your company on the inside and they find out, wow, this is nice. They got it all figured out. It's perfect. I don't see problems in here. All this is good, but what are they doing out there? How does this look to the consumer? And they find out you have an optimal conversation with the consumer, which creates people that are fans. And they see that. And they see that through the interactions. And there are a number of ways we're going to talk about how to measure all that, how to measure the conversation. They see all that and they go, okay, hold on. This is a great enterprise. If I pay them less than what this is worth, they're not going to take it. Actually, I'd love it. I'd like to take this because it is going to give me the return that I'm looking at my investment. Remember, a buyer usually looking for investment. So if they're going to offer you 50%, you're going to say no. It doesn't make sense. There's another buyer down the street that just wants to give me the right price. I might actually want, if you want to give me a little bit more than what they're giving me, maybe I'll give it to you, but not lower price. And that's what you're looking for. That's what you need. That's what you want to see. When you get that final check for your company, you want to go, you know what? All my work, all my efforts over the years, everything I've done, here's my results. It's worth it. But look at the other way, where after 10, 20, 30 years, or whatever the number is, even if it's 2 years working your neck off, trying to get this company to work, and then you get a measly check for it. You get a fraction. How disappointing is that? I can tell you, I've seen that disappointment when I had to do that with my other company. It was not a happy day for me. It felt like all the work that I put, it felt like all the efforts I put, all the energy, all the heart that I put into it, it's just gone nowhere. And somebody just took it and they could do something better with it. Don't be there. I'm here to prevent you from getting there. I'm here to help you get on the right track. I'm here to make sure that you don't make my mistakes. And I'm here to show you how implementing what I've learned has helped me massively, as much as going to help you improve your company and get in the right direction. And hopefully you can have a measure of that success, which is in the dollar value someone is willing to offer your company. Like anything else in the world, if you don't use it, you will lose it. I'm Ram Akhali, and I'll see you on the next episode.
You've just listened to the Exit Mindset Podcast with Ram Akhali. If you haven't yet subscribed or followed, please do so in your podcast listening app. Or better yet, visit exitmindset.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our bonus content. Lastly, we want to help as many business owners as possible. If you know anyone that could benefit from the information given in this podcast, please feel free to share it with them. Until next time.